I have a DSB Fowler AIO with NSW and HOB with an ATO.
All right, you want to say that one more time?
What's up, Reef Fanatics? Welcome to another episode of the Coral Reef Talk podcast. Today, we're talking all about reef aquarium acronyms. And of course, Levi is with me again today. Levi, what do you think about the hobby and its acronyms? There's a ton of them.
Yeah, there's quite a few. And I mean, just nice, you know, just have kind of like abbreviations for certain things and just being able to, you know what people are talking about by using acronyms and stuff. So pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, if you're brand new to the hobby, it can be confusing to learn some of these, though. I would imagine jumping into forums, you're seeing just a bunch of jumbled letters put together, and you may not know what any of these things mean. So today we're going to break down a couple of them and just take a look at a few of them. So I reached out to you guys on Reddit asking this question several months ago, and you guys came through, put together a list of some of these acronyms and abbreviations. But Levi, I'll throw it over to you first. What's some that you have put together?
Yeah, just a few, like green star polyps, you know, GSP, fish only with live rock, FOWLR, long tentacle anemones, bubble tip anemones, you know, BTAs, LTAs. So there's quite a few out there, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and if you're scouring the forums and people are asking questions, you have like HOB, hang on the back, DSB. What is that one?
DSB?
Yeah, what would that one be, you think?
DSB. I don't know that one.
All right, so they have it listed as deep sand bed, DSB. Okay. And then AIO, all in one?
All in one, yep.
But yeah, there's so many. So equipment-wise, you have them. Coral-wise, you have them like LPS, SPS. That's a big one when you're first getting into the hobby. And that's large polyp stony or small polyp stony. So I thought it would be fun if we could try and put together a sentence that someone might come across, or just make a fun sentence with these abbreviations and acronyms. So I don't know. I got mine ready.
I think I got mine ready too.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to throw this one out at you and you translate it for me. All right, here it goes. I have a DSB Fowler AIO with NSW and HOB with an ATO.
All right, you want to say that one more time?
Yeah, it's hard when someone's saying it to you, right? Like, you don't want to read it. All right, here we go. I have a DSB Fowler AIO with NSW and HOB with an ATO.
Okay, so I have a deep sand bed, fish only with live rock, all in one, NSW. Oh, that one's tricking me.
That's the curveball. I'll give you the first one. The N stands for natural.
Seawater.
There you go.
Okay, hang on the back, auto top off.
That's it. Yep, there you go.
That was that, you got me with the NSW.
Yeah, these things can be tricky, man.
It is. My sentence is nothing compared to this. Man, he threw it together pretty well.
All right, let's see. Let's hear it. What do you got?
All right, I have a reef tank with GSP, BTAs, LTAs. What else can I add?
You have a reef tank with green star polyps, bubble tip anemones. What was it? LTA, long tentacle anemones?
Yes. Yeah, that was too easy. I should have went more in depth. I didn't. Yeah.
There's a whole bunch out there. I mean, shortening a sentence in a forum, they're super beneficial. But I mean, what do you think of them overall? I mean, they can be helpful and it can be very confusing.
Yeah, I mean, like for a new reefer, it can definitely be super confusing. Like I remember when I first got into the hobby, I didn't know what any of them were and it was just kind of confusion. I had to do my research to try to figure it out. But once you kind of get to know the terms, I mean, it's relatively easy and it's kind of helpful. You know, instead of typing out green star polyps, you can just put GSP. Everyone knows what it is, or most everyone. Makes things a little easier. Easy to communicate.
Yeah, for sure. And then you have some that are like super technical, like if people are using like ORP would be one that's not like super common all the time, unless you're running that on your tank or you're a super technical person. But what are some that are, if you're brand new to the hobby, that you're going to see quite often? I would say you're probably going to see LPS, SPS, TDS is a good one. RODI. Or reverse osmosis deionization. GFO was a big one.
Yep.
Granular ferric oxide. What else? What else can you think of for someone brand new that they might see come up in forums quite often?
NPS. I remember that's kind of how I got into NPS and looking into what NPS was when I was first getting in, like looking on forums. I just saw NPS every so often. I'm like, what is this? And then I figured it out, and now look where I am. But let's see. Green star polyps, probably, especially if you're going to start getting the coral.
Yeah.
BTA, bubble tip anemone. And there's quite a few, but yeah, for beginners, I think you hit it on the spot.
Yeah, what about CUC? What is that?
Cleanup crew. That's a good
cleanup crew. Yep, that's a big one. Let's see, what else do we got here? Looking through some comments here from the Reddit post, and I had one, and I just lost it. Where did I see that one? So DIN/DIP. So that's either dissolved inorganics or dissolved inorganic nitrogen or dissolved inorganic phosphorus. So that one, this person commented, said that they tend to nerd out on certain things and tend to go to academic work to learn. So there's ones that I don't know. I haven't seen that one often in many forums, but usually like people have questions about their different types of corals. So they're like, how do you keep LPS coral? How do you keep SPS coral?
So right now we're going to go ahead and take a second and jump into our scientific segment. Today we are going to be talking about the Volatan lionfish, Pteris volatan. This is a beautiful fish when it's in the Indo-Pacific, but we now have it throughout the Caribbean and most of the Atlantic. It's an invasive species, and it wreaks havoc on the reefs here, just eating up all the small reef fish, as well as them just populating really rapidly. And this all started way back in the day. Aquarium keepers may have just released them, or I think another thing that could have happened was even oil rigs and tankers just like dumping their water that they may have taken in over when they were in the Indo-Pacific or whatever. But yeah, I mean, they're super invasive now here in the Americas. Lots of issues down in the Keys and stuff.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate because it's definitely hurting our reefs, but there's a lot of people out there trying to help, you know, take care of it by sparing them. And they do taste pretty good. So that's a plus too. But
yeah, I've heard that. I mean, I know they're over there, Australia and everything, they're eating these things. So I don't know. Have you had one?
Yeah. It is pretty good.
Oh, you have had them. Okay.
Yeah, I've eaten one, yeah.
Okay, nice. And I imagine with the, like, you don't want to get stuck by the spines or anything. So I imagine cleaning them, they have to be prepped a certain way and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But where did you have yours?
Down in the Keys.
Miami. Right. Nice.
A couple of my buddies.
Very cool. And you know what? I just want to thank our channel sponsor for the podcast, and that is Printed Reef. Printed Reef is providing 3D printed solutions for your reef aquarium. And they do that by providing things like the sand stand and these coral holders and even mushroom cages like this. And they have many more products to offer you over at printedreef.com. And if you're a subscriber to the Coral Reef Talk, you can go over to printedreef.com/thecoralreeftalk and use the discount code to save 10% off your purchase. So you can use the code The Coral Reef Talk at checkout, and that is going to save you 10% off of your Printed Reef products. The link and the discount code will be down in the description below or the show notes here on the podcasting platform. If you're watching this on the video podcast, you'll be able to see the products that I'm holding up right now. If you're listening, check out the show notes for more information. Last week, we talked about green hair algae and cyanobacteria. So if you're dealing with any of those issues in your tank, go ahead and listen to last week's podcast. But you know what I was thinking about, Levi, about that podcast? We failed to mention that another way to help take care of your green hair algae would be to use certain types of fish. Uh-oh. We completely did not talk about the fish that you could use, like an algae blenny. I mean, that's a big one, right? Certain inverts. I believe we have had an episode prior to that that we did talk about, like, tangs and stuff when we were talking about cleanup crews, I believe. Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was funny. We totally skipped over the fish and just went to, like, the actual, like, how do you as the reef keeper handle the green hair algae? But still a great episode. So if you're still dealing with that, go ahead and check that out. But there are a few fish. So if you're coming from that episode, what are a few fish and inverts that help tackle green hair algae real quick, or GHA in the forum?
Let's see. You mentioned lawnmower blenny. Mm-hmm. I have a couple inverts I could think of off the top of my head too that have helped me tremendously. Long spine urchins. Those work really well. If you have like a fish only tank and you're not using copper or anything, pencil urchins are really good. But I wouldn't necessarily recommend putting one in a reef tank unless you had a bunch of hair algae, because sometimes once pencil urchins run out of algae to eat, they'll, you know, start to pick on some of your corals. And that could be with any urchin, really. You just got to keep them well fed. I got my long spine in the Caribbean tank trained to, like, eat nori. Like, on the clip that I have, it'll actually come up and eat the nori. It's pretty crazy.
Nice. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, urchins and let's see what else. Molly Miller blennies, actually. Or another blenny that has been known to eat hair algae.
Yeah, I mean, and if you have a tank large enough, of course, there's many different types of tangs that will munch on algae. However, once it gets to a certain length, though, sometimes that kind of doesn't work with the different fish, because if it's too long, they're not going to mess with it. But by that point, you can pull it out.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, a lot of fish, like you just said, aren't going to mess with it if it's like super long and super stringy. But I mean, if it's just starting up or it's just super small growth, they'll tend to pick at it.
Yeah, so. For sure. So talking to brand new reef hobbyist here, some of these acronyms or abbreviations that are ones that you're going to see a lot in the forums, or some that you are going to start to become acquainted with, things that you need to know, especially for beginners. And if you have smaller tanks, HOB is one you're going to see a lot. And like we mentioned, it's hang on back. Basically, that's just a filter, some kind of filter that's going to hang on the back of your tank. So if we break these down a little bit for you and jump into what they actually are, many different types of filters. There's hang on the back protein skimmers. There's hang on the back like waterfall filters that you can use that just creates like a siphon, draws water up in it. And there's like either like a filter wheel inside or like a filter pad that it helps filter your water through, but it's a hang-on-the-back filter. ATO, you want to jump into what ATO is?
Yeah, auto top loss. I mean, some people, it's some small container or like a jug that you have like a tube running into from like either a dosing pump or a auto top off pump, just to constantly keep your system, you know, stable with your salinity levels and your water level. They're super convenient. You don't have to have one per se, but it's definitely convenient. You know, you won't have to constantly be topping off your tank and worrying about your tank like sucking air or just, you know, the salinity slowly rising over time. Cause I mean, that with like SPS corals and stuff, that can definitely affect them. So you want your tank to be as consistent as possible as long as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And then AOI, it's all in one. So we said that at the top of the episode, but what is
all in one means like the system is just all pretty much in one piece.
Yep.
Like the tank itself, the overflow, the like refugium or filter box, and then the area where your pump goes, you know, just to put the water back into the tank to recirculate it. They're pretty common. I mean, especially smaller size tanks, I would say. They're super common, especially nowadays. It makes it keeping nano tanks quite a bit easier. That way, you know, you're not running like a hang on the back filter. You have actual filtration that's meant to help with saltwater. So that can definitely benefit you.
Yeah, it's definitely a very popular choice because you can add additional filtration to it, but you have the compartments now all in one that you can do that too if you wanted to add stuff. But yeah, it's got the different chambers and compartments like you're talking about. So yeah, they're really cool, keeps things nice and easy. And then of course, a big one, either RO or RODI, and that's reverse osmosis or reverse osmosis deionized water. That is the water that we recommend you use for your reef aquarium. That gets rid of a lot, if like all of the impurities pretty much. It'll get rid of the metals, that get rid of water that has like super high phosphates and stuff. It just takes all of that stuff out of your water so you start as clean as possible in your reef tank.
Yeah, super convenient.
Yep.
And your water consistent, especially for SPS corals and more finicky corals, more stable you keep your water and your elements in your reef tank, the better off you're going
to
be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so in today's episode, we just wanted to quickly run through some of these terms are all over the place and you see them a lot. So if you see something that might confuse you or you have more of these acronyms or abbreviations to share with us, let us know in the comment section below what some of your favorites are or some that first confused you, or make up a funny sentence with them. We would love to see what kind of sentences you guys have for us in the comments below. But I think that's all we have for you today. It's just a short, fun podcast episode to highlight these different acronyms for it.
Thank you.
But thank you so much for listening, liking, commenting, and we'll catch you in the next one.
See you.